Test. 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 Testing. Test.
Check this out.
Ranger.
Autonomous Action Radio, a multimedia radio show, a website, an idea, a suggestion, an action plan. Because it's up to us now.
This communique will most likely be marked and destroyed shortly after it is discovered. Listen on at your own risk.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Autonomous Action Radio. I'm your angry anarchist host, Linda, and on this week's show, we've got a brand new sedition from the Stimulator, who seems to be having a riotous time in his new hometown, Montreal. As well as riot porn from Montreal, he looks at a general strike in India, protests in Chile, free Anons, and gives us a little French lesson. Also on the show, what happened on March 15, the International Day Against Police Brutality? But first of all, why am I angry? I'm angry because last year was the hottest year ever recorded, and there's not enough being done to address the cause of rising temperatures. I'm angry because the river close to where I live is badly polluted, as well as most of the other watercourses in the world. I'm angry because I have to buy food which has been sprayed with pesticides because I can't afford organic. I'm angry because people use chemical fertilizers, pesticides, and herbicides to keep their lawn green, killing frogs and insects and spiders and worms and ants, who are all beautiful, amazing creatures whose homes we live in too. I'm angry because all these chemicals then flow into the river, making it more polluted. I'm angry because I don't own the house I live in, and I pay rent to some rich bastard who never wants to spend any money to keep the house livable, and who could demand I leave when it suits him. But most of all, I'm angry because I live in a first world country, and my life is privileged compared to many others, overseas, but even those living in the same city as me. I'm angry about this because everyone should have food, shelter, and clean water at the very least. Yet I know in China, where people work for $1.62 an hour in sweatshop conditions to make stuff that's just going to end up in landfill polluting some third world country in Africa. I'm even more angry when I read in a newspaper made for rich white men that things are looking up for China because wages have risen 9%. 9% of $1.62 is still not very fucking much. And now we're talking about human rights, but what about animal rights? I'm angry because motherfuckers use 1080 and other poisons to kill animals that get in no way. But it's not just killing, it's torture first. And it's not just animals, it's whole communities of trees, plants, and microbes which get destroyed. 200 species go extinct every day. I'm angry because radiation is still leaking from Fukushima, and people still believe nuclear power is clean and green. And there's over 400 other nuclear reactors spread around the planet, and still no way of dealing with the waste. Phew, anyway, I'm angry about all this shit and more. But it's not an anger which stems from hate, it's an anger which stems from love. I'm angry because I love life, trees, fresh air, clean water, animals, soil, and even most humans, although there's a few on my hit list.
This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
While at the same time, the actions by the anti-war movement might alienate or give the other side, the rich motherfuckers, the ability to use it against us by portraying us all as destructive, mindless anarchists and so forth, I think it goes a bit both ways. While at the same time it really beat the fuck out of a lot of people in Chicago in 68, it did radicalize a lot of different people, and it really exposed how reactionary and how inherently violent the police state really is.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine. The show that feels just like the last one.
Hi there. Say, do you have a driver's license? You just rolled through that stop sign back there.
You're somewhere.
Oh, God! I'm your host, the Stimulator, and as much as the Montreal pigs were hoping to have a chill that spring, and now that there's no fucking official student strike, the treacherous politicians of the nationalist Parti Québécois fucked the glazed donut truce by instituting an insidious tuition increase after all.
J'ai la conviction.
I want to fuck you in the mouth.
Du Québec, c'est de devenir un.
I want to fuck you in your mouth.
These sneaky fuckers turned to their Orwellian wordsmiths to hide the hike in the language of lies and deceit.
It is happening again. It is happening again.
But before I bring you the predictable riot porn sequence from the Quebecois resistance, we move to India, where a massive motherfucking general strike paralyzed the nation. Indian workers threw a monkey wrench at the capitalist death machine by skipping work and flooding the streets with class warriors in opposition to increasing social inequalities and deteriorating living conditions. In the spirit of Bhagat Singh, the Indian saboteurs turned trucks and cars into massive bonfires, fucked up multinational corporations, and stopped all motherfucking taxi and bus traffic. As usual, the popo showed whose side they're on and proceeded to shit on this revolutionary moment. But the po doesn't always get their way. Like in Santiago, Chile, where during a celebration of the International Day of Women, Los Pacos decided to display their patriarchal colors, but quickly retreated as the rage of our Chilean brothers and sisters beat them back with a barrage of Molotov cocktails. In Thessaloniki, in Greece, Molotov cocktails were also chucked at the facility owned by Hellenic Gold, a subsidiary of the Canadian mining giant El Dorado. These cock rockers are destroying a large chunk of land in order to extract that useless shiny metal we call
gold.
800-686-2237. These are great deals, folks. I feel very good going to sleep at night promoting great deals on gold like this.
The militants restrained the rent-a-cops and spread their hot love over the mining compound, bringing worldwide attention to this anti-mining struggle. While the swiney sellouts we call 5-0 attempted to quell rebellions in Bulgaria and Portugal, the motherfucking Canadian security troglodytes extended their post-G20 witch hunt to the United Snakes. Extradition orders were issued for five peeps accused of smashing up Starbucks stores, banks, and setting cop cars aflame in Toronto during that insurrectionary summer of 2010. These folks face serious jail time and could use some solidarity. To find out how you can help, visit supportjoel.com. Meanwhile, in Montreal,
it is happening again.
Yep, another spring of rage is upon us. As I said earlier, the movement against tuition hikes and for free education that rocked La Belle Provence last year is back with a vengeance. The past few weeks have seen several massive protests where the daring spirit of the motherfucking resistance has reignited the collective desire for social fucking war. This all comes on the heels of two yearly and very much confrontational events that sees thousands of angry peeps rail against the pigs and lash out against capital. The annual rally against police brutality comes this week on March 15th, and shortly thereafter, the riotous anti-capitalist carnival people call May Day. So if you're coming to Montreal for any of these two events, you should learn a little fucking French. Oui? Okay, let's get started. When the pigs are ordering you to move, they will yell,
Bouge! Bouge!
Okay, you got that? Let's try out something a little bit harder. You know those annoying motherfuckers that try to stop comrades from having some smashing good times? You know, the peace police? Well, in Quebecois, it's a clever word combination of the French slang for cop mixed with the word of pacifist. So repeat after me.
Pacifique. Pacifique.
If you want to join the crowd with some of the most popular chants, try this one. Police, pigs, assassins. In French, you would say
flic, porc, assassin.
What? past couple of months, we've seen the release from prison of comrades Mandy Hiscox and Kelly Flugbeck, who were both caged in the post-G20 witch hunt. In the Pacific Northwest, Katie Olechnik and Matt Duran successfully resisted a grand jury fishing expedition by not saying a fucking word to the feds, and are now out of the clink. All of these folks received tremendous amount of solidarity from support committees and comrades. But there are courageous freedom fighters out there kicking capitalist ass in cyberspace, and who face the violence of the state out here in the physical world. You may have heard of them. The world knows them as Anonymous, and some of their peeps have been snatched up by the security apparatus. Well, now they have their own support network called Free Anons. To find out more about Anonymous, I had to transport myself to the subterranean metaverse and meet these folks. How the fuck do I do this? They just said to just go to this website and punch in this password and everything will be like... What the fuck? Anyway, Free Anons, how the fuck are you?
Oh, hi, Stimulator. Thanks for asking. We're fucking angry.
So, what the fuck is Free Anons?
Free Anons is part of a global network of digital adversaries to government and corporate censors. It was founded as a response to the government crush of hacktivists, digital rights activists, and communication specialists, who are anonymous people who have been jailed for their work towards radical transparency. We fight to open liberated spaces in the real world as well as in tech internets. We track investigations against Anonymous. In doing so, we are exposing an ever-growing surveillance police state, a pretty insidious one, that is intent on militarizing and policing the internet.
Since most of us are anonymous, we might come from anywhere. Generally, we are people who have gathered to protect fallen comrades. We organize through Internet Relay Jet. We publish tools on internet encryption and anonymity. We produce and have supporters who produce a wide variety of media across every medium in order to spread the message that we won't cave till we give a fatal blow to the unjust system that seeks to criminalize and silence our voices. We publish news on freeanons.org. We watch the watchers because we think it's fucked beyond belief that Anonymous is arrested for activities that so-called legitimate entities like NSA do under veneer of law every day, when they are in fact the biggest criminals on the planet and who use anonymity themselves to hide their corrupt agendas. So no accountability for them, and maximum accountability for us. That's the biggest issue.
Who is Jeremy Hammond, and why is his case so fucking important?
Jeremy Hammond is an anarchist activist from Chicago. He is also a digital revolutionary, a hacker, who is alleged to have liberated private intelligence emails through the breach of Strategic Forecasting, Incorporated, a company in the U.S. hooked into the intelligence industrial complex, in other words, a private U.S. henchman for CIA. The emails he obtained from Straitfer were leaked to WikiLeaks. Like previous WikiLeaks material, they show the U.S. as a corrupt and illegal military power, set on engineering a global agenda and operating under an illegal double standard, in order to retain power by any means necessary.
Like other hacktivists and whistleblowers who dare to expose the massive fraud that operates as the U.S. military, intelligence and law enforcement machine, he faces severe and unjust penalty, while the perpetrators of the real crimes walk free. If convicted at trial, he will face 30 years to life under the CFAA, the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. He's 28 years old.
His case is important because it shows how far the U.S. government will go to shut down Anonymous, anarchists, and revolutionaries who fight against entrenched government and corporate power. The judge in his case, Loretta Preska, has connections, though her husband, to the target, Straitfer, and has presided in other cases as a government lackey to CIA. So Free Anons does things like offer support to Hammond's support network.
What other cases are you providing support for that peeps should know about?
We provide support for anyone who has been arrested or is under investigation for working under the Anonymous banner. Current prosecutions are not just against hackers. They are against media artists like Adam Naffer in the U.S., whose crime was producing a video about Doze, and also Barrett Brown in the U.S., a J6 general who was tracking U.S. military technology to infiltrate chat rooms and flood them with U.S. propaganda. There are cases against network engineers and IRC admins like Christopher Weatherhead in the UK, whose real crime, as far as we can tell, was simply being an admin at ANUPSERC. We also support the PAYPAL for activists who utilized a coordinated network attack against PayPal when PayPal cut payment to WikiLeaks just because they wanted to suck up to US politicians.
In addition, we currently track other activist cases, like those against Red Hat in Turkey and activists in countries throughout Europe and South America.
What can people do to help?
First of all, spread the word. Talk to people about what is happening on digital battlegrounds. Inform the public about these arrests, police harassment, raids, and infiltrations. Expose the feds wherever you spot them. Teach yourself and others how to stay safe by utilizing basic security. Organize a crypto party. Don't log. Don't talk to the police. Remember that anonymity is the cornerstone of political speech and the best tool against censorship. Bye.
Anything else?
Yeah, expect us.
Thanks, Anonymous. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. Gangsta Grizzle to all my fellow slaves who've been transferring their sweat so I can keep on bringing you the reports from the global civil war. Amy, Drew, Robin, Sol, Samantha, Linda, Martin, Aaron, Revlin, Nicole, Nicholas, Jade, Sky, Michael, Mandy, Amy, Ben, Brent, Kaylee, Cole Green, and Bobin Tabernak. I also want to let y'all motherfuckers know that some media has produced a new video for one of my favorite fucking rappers, Sol, with the track called I Think I'm Emma Goldman. So to check that shit out, visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. So with that said, I leave you with some Emma Goldman wisdom. When we can't dream any longer, we fucking die.
In the 1800s, anarchists were libertines. Only in America are libertarians an arm of the right wing. They put a gun in your face, they tell you to be nonviolent, but ignorance is violence. Who spreads ignorance through public schools and sends the poor to die overseas to steal more shit for you know who, you know who? If voting changed anything, they'd make it illegal. She said that 100 years ago.
Right about now, NWA court is in full effect. Judge Dre residing. In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorneys are MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Easy motherfucking E.
Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help your black ass?
You goddamn right.
Won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on. And thrown in jail, we can go toe to toe in the middle of a sale. Fucking with me cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. Searching my car, looking for the product. Thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. Be the police out of shape and when I finish, bring the yellow tape. To take off the scene of the slaughter, still getting swole up bread and water. I don't know if they fags or what. Search a nigga down and grabbing his nuts. And on the other hand, without a gun they can't get none. But don't let it be a black and a white one, cause they'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing out for the white cop. Will swarm on any motherfucker in a blue uniform. Just cause I'm from the CPT, punk police are afraid of me, huh? A young nigga on the warpath, and when I finish, it's gonna be a bloodbath of cops dying in LA. Yo, Dre, I got something to say.
Ren, will you please give your testimony to the jury about this fucked up incident?
Fuck the police, and Ren said it with authority. Because the niggas on the street is a majority of gang. That's what whoever I'm stepping.
motherfucking weapon is kept in a stash spot for the so-called law. Wishing Ren was a nigga that they never saw. Lights start flashing behind me, but they're scared of a nigga, so they mace me to blind me. But that shit don't work, I just laugh, because it gives them a hint not to step in my path. But police, I'm saying, fuck you, punk. Read my rights and shit, it's all junk. Pulling out a silly club, so you stand with a fake ass badge and a gun in your hand. But take off the gun so you can see what's up, and we'll go at it, punk, and I'ma fuck you up. Make you think I'ma kick your ass, but drop your gat, and Red's gonna blast. I'm sneaky as fuck when it comes to crime, but I'ma smoke them now and not next time. Smoke any motherfucker that sweats me, any asshole that threatens me. I'm a sniper with a hell of a scope, taking out a cop or two that can't cope with me. The motherfucking villain that's mad, with potential to get bad as fuck. So I'ma turn it around, put in my clip, yo, and this is the sound. Yeah, something like that, but it all depends on the size of the gap. Taking out a police will make my day, but a nigga like Ren don't give a fuck to say.
Fuck the police, fuck, fuck, fuck the police, fuck, fuck, fuck the police, fuck, fuck, fuck the police.
Yeah, man, what you need?
Police, open up. We have a warrant for EZ's arrest.
Get down.
Step up to the stand and tell the jury how you feel about this bullshit.
I'm tired of the motherfucking jacket, sweating my gang while I'm chilling in the shack and shining the light in my face. And for what? Maybe it's because I kick so much butt I kick ass. Or maybe because I blast on a stupid ass nigga when I'm playing with the trigger of an Uzi or an AK. Cause the police always got something stupid to say. They put out my picture with silence, cause my identity by itself causes violence. Criminal behavior. Yeah, I'm a gangster, but still I got flavor. Without a gun and a badge, what do you got? A sucker in a uniform waiting to get shot by me or another nigga. And with a gat, it don't matter if he's smaller or bigger. And as y'all know, E's here the rule. Whenever I'm rolling, keep looking in the mirror and is on cue, yo, so I can hear a dumb motherfucker with a gun. And if I'm rolling up the eight, he'll be the one that I take out. And then get away while I'm driving off laughing. This is what I'll say. Fuck the police. Fuck, fuck, fuck the police. Fuck, fuck, fuck the police. Fuck, fuck, fuck the police.
The verdict. The jury has found you guilty of being a redneck, white bread, chicken shit motherfucker.
Wait, that's a lie. That's a goddamn lie.
Get him out of here.
I want justice.
Get him the fuck out of my face.
I want justice.
Out right now.
We'll be right back.
Yeah.
It's all good, man.
And we off in the Oakland Hills. Dodging them one time. Check it out.
If you got beef with COPs, throw a Molotov at the PIGs, cause they be harassing you and me. You gotta understand that we still not free. If you got beef with COPs, throw a Molotov at the PIGs, cause they be harassing you and me.
Don't trust the police, no justice, no peace. They got me face down in the middle of the street. Pistol with me with the heat. Shit is shit sizzling. Trying to serve me with the all you can eat. Murder beef. I'm a young black heterosexual male. Don't drink, drink, don't smoke, don't sell. That's the real reason why they want me up in jail. They want me to fail. I resist and rebel. See, I give a fuck about the COP. P-I-G's. I wanna lock and shake them like a P-I-T. Cause they wanna see me D-I-E. Tommy Cash under my. OG, dark Soviet socialist, bitches, venomous, bogus, pro-bo-bo, total, holding it down for open. Close to at least smoking in the shit we do and we hoping. So just to notice and get the motive to throw a Molotov music.
Thank you. anxiety. If it was up to me, I would restart history. Ignite the flame and burn these centuries ablaze. Bloodstained centuries, these bloody centuries.
Autonomous Action Radio, a multimedia radio show, a website, an idea, a suggestion, an action plan. March 15 is the International Day Against Police Brutality, and this year Autonomous Action Radio held an event where Brisbane Murray activist Sam Watson spoke about the history of police brutality in Queensland and what measures can and have been put in place to prevent it. Around the world, marches and actions were held in Canada, America, the UK, Europe, and even Bangladesh. In Memphis, Tennessee, Black Panther Lorenzo Comboa Irvine was interviewed at an action held in City Hall. He explains the origins of the day.
So why are you here today?
We are here for the International Day of Action Against Police Brutality, which is held every March 15th in 44 countries now around the world. And the original day of action was started by a group of anarchists and immigrants from Africa came to Switzerland. And some immigrant children were beaten severely by the police in Zurich, I think it was. And as a result of that, they had a mass demonstration, and it just spread around the country and spread to other countries, and now it's in 44 countries and growing. So Memphis has never been part of that, and very few cities in the United States have been part of it. And so what we're doing is really a matter of history. You know, we are in the city that has the largest number of police fatalities, you know, civilian fatalities by police in the country. Over the last 12 to 14 months, I think it is, 12 to 13 months, there have been 14 people killed as a result of police violence. And so we've been organizing here against police brutality. We've been saying all along that these cases were acts of terrorism by the police. And we have been calling for community control of the police because it's clear that the politicians won't or can't control the police. And it's gotten so bad here now that the police are starting to beat up each other. There have been at least three incidents involving 11 cops where they've beaten up other officers or beaten up some people in the street. who were just going about their business in an entertainment district. So there's a reign of terror here in this city. You know, you got widespread racial profiling, you got widespread intimidation by the police, taking out guns or showing guns, off-duty cops showing guns to people. And of course, an off-duty cop shot and killed a 15-year-old kid here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about a whole history of police terrorism here that's unrestrained by the politicians who refuse to take any accountability, who claim that they're doing their jobs. They are doing their jobs, they're doing a job on us the people. And so what we're saying is that we are opposed to police brutality, we are opposed to cover-ups, we're opposed to any form of terrorism by the state, by the government itself. We won't live under a police state.
Mm-hmm.
So we're standing up.
Montreal, Canada has also been involved in the International Day Against Police Brutality since its beginnings in 1997. As we heard during It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, the streets of Montreal have been filled with rage as students protest increases in tuition fees. And the rage continued as the protest against police brutality was marked by more police brutality. Anarchist News also reports a police car was set on fire.
Well, it's becoming a troubling tradition in Montreal, an annual street fight between the police and anti-police protesters. It's billed as a march against police brutality. And the CBC's Catherine Cullen was in the middle of it all tonight. Catherine, how did it go tonight?
Well, Mark, in some ways it would have been surprising if this protest hadn't turned sour. That said, the number of arrests this year does seem to be down compared to last year. Last year we were talking in excess of 200 arrests. Right now we only have early reports, but they suggest there were about 150 protesters detained. Most of those people are expected to be released. Only a handful will face criminal charges. Right from the beginning, though, police declared this protest illegal before marchers even began taking to the streets. They also made a few early arrests. Police are telling us that two officers were injured. We do not have any reports of any serious injuries among the protesters. But you know, in this city that has seen so much in the way of violence, dramatic protests, particularly in the last year, the damage tonight, the violence, not certainly one of the more extreme examples that we've seen. For many Montrealers, the presence of riot police has actually become relatively unsurprising.
Straight, get bashed by the place and place. Take it away to Roma Street. Call tomorrow, just run away. Call
Let's have a listen now to Sam Watson speaking about the history of police and community relations in Queensland, Australia.
Thanks, Linda and Triple Z for inviting us along. Talk about a very important issue, which is community relations with cops. And I've had a bit to do with this going back to the 60s and 70s when the black political movement first started to come together. And back then, 50 odd years ago, our biggest concern across the community were the cops, police harassment. And they were bad news then, and they're still bad news today. And as the political movement came together, our communities called for meetings, and at every single one of those meetings that we went to right across Queensland, throughout Australia, people were concerned about the way in which cops behaved towards blacks. There were an enormous body of allegations came forward about cops who were harassing Aboriginal people, bashing Aboriginal people, raping Aboriginal women, and other forms of sexual molestation with Aboriginal women, falsifying evidence, and railroading Aboriginal people through the criminal justice system. And back in those days, of course, this is years before we got the legal service going, Aboriginal people had no capacity to fight back. Back in those days, we had very few qualified Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. There were very few sympathetic non-Indigenous lawyers out there who were prepared to give up their time. And it took a lot of hard work, hard guts work through the 60s and 70s before we actually got systems going. So number one, we'd get out there in the community on the big nights, the peak nights, and monitor police activity. We looked at overseas situations, and particularly the work of the Black Panther Party in America. Certainly the work undertaken by the chapter in Oakland, San Francisco. And we read the material put out by people like Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, Eldridge Cleaver, Angela Davis and others. And we're very interested in the way in which they monitored the cops once cops came into the black community. They would send out their own surveillance patrols and they would have these handouts so that when the cops confronted black people in the streets, the Panthers would be there. Of course, they'd be armed with their shotguns, so we wouldn't be able to do that here, of course, or a lot of people would like to, but Panthers would be there. And they would advise the cops of what they were doing there, and they'd also be advising the black people about what their rights were under the law. And we, as I said, we were very interested in this, and so we started here in Brisbane through 69, 70, 71, we started our own pit patrols. And we rent them out of Uncle Don Brady's church out of Spring Hill. We brought a lot of people on board from across the trade union community, from the University of Queensland, a number of law students came along, ordinary comrades from around the community, and we sent out teams. We saw the peak nights as being Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and we had identified pubs and places around South Brisbane and across the city and out of the valley where the cops used to hit Aboriginal gatherings with their black, so-called Black Mariah patrols. And on these nights, they'd literally rake in hundreds of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people on bullshit charges. Fill the vans up, shoot them through to the watch house, and then process the next morning. And 9 out of 10 times, most of our mob were not intoxicated, were quite capable of being able to get home, and had committed no offence. But the cops had this quota system in place where they had to justify their work, and they used to get out there and harass, terrorise, brutalise and arrest Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So we started the so-called pig patrols, and we sent out teams of people. In every car there would be at least one Aboriginal person. There would be a member of the church, there would be a law student, and there'd be another just ordinary community person. And we'd have notebooks, and we would record everything, so that as soon as the cops started operating, we'd write down the registration numbers of the police vehicles, we'd write down the time, the place. Cops started to remove their ID tags, so then we tried to take photos, cameras got smashed, our own mob got arrested. But we built up this fairly significant body of material about the police interaction with the black community, and that was sufficient to justify funding of low-scale programs that then led to the Average Trust on Legal Services. During that period in the 1970s, well, we started to see the law schools around Greater Brisbane becoming more involved with the political protests as well. Because during the 1960s and 1970s, we had an arch-conservative government, Jeremy Jolly Peterson. We had major national political movements, particularly around the Springbok campaigns in 1971, the Right to March campaigns in 1975, a whole range of programmed activities in which people rose up against a truly fascist extremist government. Jeremy Jolly Peterson and his ministers totally politicised the Queensland police service. So there was no separation between the government and the cops. And of course, by the time you got to the courts, your fate was done. So there was a non-stop stream of average trust on the people going into the criminal justice system and then receiving the maximum penalties and going into the prison. So we attempted to slow this down by educating our mob. And I think even 40 or 50 years later, that's still relevant. I think number one, we need to get out there in the community and educate all our mob, black, white, brown, red, or whatever, who are vulnerable to police attention. The cops are still out there. They still have this enormous sense of power. They still have this enormous sense where they are beyond the law, beyond accountability. So we need to get out there, educate people about what their rights are. We need to become much more clever about the way in which we monitor police activity. You have got the right, if the cops are there confronting somebody that you know or you don't know, and you think the cops are going a little bit overboard, then you've got the right to be able to stand there and make notes about what is happening. That would make the cops nervous, because as I've found over all these years, most cops do not like any sort of attention. And we've seen in all the major cases of black deaths in custody or any extremist situation where members of the public are arrested, brutalised, terrorised, end up in hospital or end up in the morgue, that the cops will do their most damaging work away from public scrutiny. In places like the back of police paddy wagons, vans, hidden places, watch houses. But out of the open, out in the streets, we can watch, we can monitor, and we can keep notes. Because as we've seen in every single case where we've eventually gotten into an inquiry, or even the high situations where we've actually got the cops charged, you find that when cops are in front of legal forums, they are very clever, very professional witnesses, because they always get together and always cook up a version of events that serves them. And we have found that when we have been involved in death and custody cases going right back to the 70s, 80s, 90s, and into this current period, that cops, when they're under threat, they'll get together and they will workshop a version of events that will, as I said, serve their interests and keep their members out of the jails. We saw that particularly with the Daniel Yock case in 93, and that only happened, 300 metres from here, where cops smashed and murdered Daniel Yock on the afternoon of 7th November 1993. There were seven cops involved in that, and that happened on a Sunday afternoon. The Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of that week, they had an incident room set up in the police headquarters over in Roman Street. They had four top-line barristers there, and they workshopped every single step of that scenario, what actually happened on that day. So that when we finally got into the CJC inquiry, we found that every single cop witness who came out of the stand was repeating the same version of events. That is absolute bullshit. And they're very hard to toss. Very hard to toss.
And that was Sam Watson speaking about police relations with the community.
All right, police! Police!
Bad.
Cop. Nut. Donut.
Bad. 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 Bad.
Cop. 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 Cop.
No. 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 Donut. 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 Donut.
It's under law. And I rule.
Bad.
Cop.
Nut. Donut.
Bad. 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 Bad.
Cop. 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 Cop.
No. 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 Donut. 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 Donut.
It's under law. And I rule.
On the next show, we'll be continuing our anarchist activist alphabet. We're up to F. F is for freedom and F is for feminism, in this case anarcho-feminism. Songs you heard on today's show were Fuck the Police by NWA, I Don't Fault the Police by Corporate Avenger, Pork and Beef by The Coup, Two Cups of Tea by Star Fucking Hipsters, and Police State by The Great Shame. As always, we're going out today with John Chee's song At the End of the Road. You've been listening to Autonomous Action Radio on Zed Digital. For more information about the show, you can go to autonomousactionradio.com or 4ZZZFM.org.au.
Feel like you've lost all your hope, when there's no one to help you find where to go. Don't have to look far, you know where I am. I'm waiting at the end of the road, waiting at the end of the road. We're traveling, don't feel alone. No matter how far you are from your home, so when you look up ahead, you'll know where I am. I'm waiting at the end of the road, waiting at the end of the road. When the places I go and the songs that I sing, the rules that I break and the people I meet, I've got a name, one you can repeat. But I'm waiting at the end of the road, waiting at the end of the road. We'll try just about anything to make you turn back and be their machine. They'll shackle your feet and they'll shackle your dreams. They say you're as free as can be. Say you're as free as can be. The losses don't take one more step on the road to a place where ideas are not set. But I say run and leave it all behind. Run till there's no running left. Run till there's no running left. And whatever you think and whatever you want, whatever you need and whatever you've got, you've got a right to be who you are. And don't let them take it away. Yeah, don't let them take you away.
don't mind. I can't be beaten by oppression and lies. They torture my spirit, but I'm still alive.
They tried to kill me, but I would die. I live in your heart and I live in your mind. I can't be beaten by oppression and lies. Torture my spirit, but I'm still alive. They tried to kill me, but I would die. I live in your heart and I live in your mind. I can't be beaten by oppression and lies. Torture my spirit, but I'm still alive. They tried to kill me, but I wouldn't die. I live in your heart and I live in your mind. I can't be beaten by oppression and lies. Torture my spirit, but I'm still alive.